And now we will continue to hear about Srinivasacharya. His father didn't go to Vrindavan. He remained there in his village, and the father and son continuously heard of the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his pastimes until his father passed on from this world. And then Srinivas had a very strong desire to go and see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. So he left. He first of all visited one exalted Vaishnava nearby, Narahari Sakar, who is one of the very close associates of Mahaprabhu, and he told him, go very quickly. So he did. But when he arrived in Jagannath Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had just departed. And then he went to see Gadadhar Pandit, and Gadadhar Pandit told him, please go immediately to Navadvip. And so he turned and started for Navadvip, and then suddenly he had this horrible feeling, and he decided, why did I listen to that? I shouldn't have left. And so he suddenly turned back towards Jagannath Puri with a very heavy heart, and on the way he saw the pilgrims coming from Jagannath Puri, and they told him, do you know, Gadadhar Pandit just left. So then he was heartbroken, and in this mood he hurriedly went to Navadvip. And just as he was arriving there, pilgrims coming from Navadvip, he asked them for news, and they said, do you know, Nityananda Prabhu just left, and Advaita Acharya Prabhu also just left. So he continued on, and he met their consorts, and they gave their blessings, Vishnupriya, Sita Thakurani, and Janava Devi. They all gave their blessings to Srinivasacharya, and they all told him the same thing, go to Vrindavan. And they said, go very, very quickly. So he started on the way to Vrindavan. He met many Vaishnavas on the way. And when he finally arrived just outside of Mathura, he saw two Mathura Brahmins who were speaking to each other, and they were saying, what a great misfortune for the residents of Vrindavan. Sri Rupa has just left, and Sanatan Goswami has also left. And hearing this news, Srinivas became so heartbroken that he turned back towards Bengal, and he was like crazy. He was crying and crying. It said that he stayed outside some village on the way back, and his crying was so pathetic that the people in the village couldn't even sleep. They couldn't understand what is this crying that they were hearing. In the night, Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami appeared to him, and they told him, go on to Vrindavan, and in Vrindavan you will meet Sri Jiva Goswami, who will give you all your teachings and instructions, and you should take initiation, Diksha, from Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So he did. He arrived in Vrindavan, and finally, after so many long years, he became very happy in the association of Sri Jiva Goswami and Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And he studied the literature of Srila Rupa and Sanatana Goswami at the Radha Damodar temple. And then one day he had a feeling in his heart that something good was about to happen. And at that particular time, another very young, extraordinarily exalted devotee arrived in Vrindavan. And his name was Narottam, Narottam Das, later known as Narottam Das Thakur. Narottam Das Thakur was the son of a king in Khetri Dham in Bengal. And he was very similar, extraordinarily pious, beautiful child, very, very loved by all the villagers, highly learned, and naturally renounced. So Narottam had snuck away from his family situation and quickly come to Vrindavan, and he began to study with Srinivas. So Srinivas and Narottam were very, very happy in each other's association, and everyone was so happy to see them because they were like shining lights on the horizon of Gaudiya Vaishnavism at a time when all the sun and the moon had left and all the stars were gradually turning to dark. So then, sometime after that, Shamananda came. Dukhi Krishna Das was his name. And he began to study also. He was from Orissa. So these three young men studied together under Jiva Goswami. And one day Srila Jiva Goswami had the inspiration that they should all return to Bengal and they should take with them all the books that had been written by Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, and they should teach them there to the Vaishnavas in Bengal who had no access to the theology of Gaudiya Vaishnavism as had been compiled by these great Goswami disciples of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So on an auspicious day they started with a couple of bullock carts loaded very, very carefully with these priceless books. And they travelled very happily and effortlessly across Bharat until they arrived finally in Gaudadesh, and they were feeling very happy now. They were very close to home. And they came to a village, a town actually, called Vishnupur. In Vishnupur, the king, his name was Hamvir, King Hamvir, he was a dacoit, and he had some astrologers who would give him information about the passing travelers who were coming through his way, and they could tell by their astrology if they had money with them or whatever, and then he would basically steal from them or kill them or whatever he would do to get their belongings. And his astrologer told him, there's someone coming. He's so rich. He's like got this box and it's just full of priceless, inconceivably valuable gems. And the king sent the dacoits out to try and confiscate this treasure. And finally they were successful and they brought the they stole the cart with the books while the three young Vaishnavas were sleeping. And when they awoke, they were horrified. They basically wanted to kill themselves. Now the books of Rupa and Sanatan had vanished. Then Srinivasacharya heard some intuition. He had like an understanding that he should stay and the other two should go on to their homes. So he told Shamananda, go to Orissa. And he told Narottam, go on to Kettery. And I will stay here for some time. Then he went to see the king, who had already eagerly opened the box. And when he opened the box, he found there were these books inside. But just looking at the books did something to his heart. And he felt so transformed by this that he realized, I've done something so bad. And he called his dacoits and he said, did you kill anyone when you took these books? And they said, no, my lord, we didn't kill anyone. They were all asleep. It was easy. We just took them. And still he was saying, I'm so glad. But still he felt so bad. And then, one day, by the Lord's arrangement, Srinivas, who knew that the king was the person who had taken the books, he arrived in his court. And this had such an incredible transformation on the king, who had also received a dream. And in this dream he had been told that he had been the disciple of Srinivasacharya for many, many lives. So as soon as he saw him, he begged him, he broke down, he cried, he wept, he washed his feet, he did everything he could to worship Srinivasacharya, and he apologized profusely, and he recognized all the sinful things that he had done in his life, and he begged Srinivas to forgive him and to accept him and to purify him. And Srinivas was very happy to do so. So he stayed in this place, Vishnupur, for 2 or 3 or 4 months. And then it was very pathetic when he left, because the king was now desperate and he was crying and weeping and saying, please don't leave, I'm such a sinner, you can't leave me, please stay, please stay. And Srinivas said, I have to go now to my village, which was Jajigram. So Srinivas told him he would return. Meanwhile, during this time also, many people told Srinivas he should get married. And they told him, don't reject this instruction. He had dreams in which he was instructed. And he went to visit Narahari Sakha, who he had got his blessings from in the beginning. And he told him personally, he said, many qualified people will offer you qualified wives, and you should accept them. It is the Lord's desire. Soon after that, he was offered a very qualified girl, and he accepted her, and he became married. He, in his village, he began to teach the literature of the six Goswamis, and very soon he had many, many students. But the feeling of the absence of all the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that they had all gone or they were leaving, was so heavy on his mind. And one day he came to know that Narahari Sakha had also left this world. Narahari was living in a very wretched condition, eating nothing, not sleeping, just meditating constantly on his separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he had now gone. And this had a deep effect on Srinivas. He went back to his place and decided, I'll just keep teaching and I'll keep doing my duty and this will be all right. And he did this for some time, but then he just felt, I can't do this. This is so difficult. And so he entrusted all, he gave his students instructions on what they should do. And he turned and he went back to Vrindavan. When he came to Vrindavan, everyone was so happy to see him again because he was so loved by them. And he stayed there for some time. He again studied under the care of Jiva Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami. But even there he was hearing about different associates of Mahaprabhu who had left. So he was feeling that same kind of pain. And then one of his disciples, known as Ramachandra, who was one of his most intimate disciples, he was told, go to Vrindavan and see Srinivas. So he came. And he came with a letter from Srinivas' disciples saying that we can hardly live without you. Please come back and continue your teaching here. And both Jiva Goswami and Srinivas took this very seriously. And they had some discussion. And then they agreed that yes, he should go back and he should continue teaching in Bengal. So he did. He returned to Bengal and he traveled here and there. And the way these Vaishnavas mostly associated was having festivals. And many of these festivals were a little sad because they were in honor of some great exalted associate of Mahaprabhu who had just left. And so they would have, his disciples would have a festival. After some time, Srinivas Acharya came to a village known as Telia Budari. This village was very near to Kettery, and he at last had decided that he had to go and see again Narottam Das. And he was bringing with him Ramachandra, one of his main disciples. And Ramachandra's brother Govinda lived in this village. So he had stopped in this village to have some programs with the Vaishnavas who were living there. Want to start the music? Srinivas Acharya was staying in Telia Budari, which was very, very close to Kettery. when Narottam Das arrived. Srinivas and his disciples hurriedly went out to meet him. And when they met, Narottam Das bowed at the lotus feet of Srinivasacharya, who immediately picked him up and embraced him, holding him tightly for a very long time. Srinivas then introduced Narottam Das to the other Vaishnavas present. Then, sitting alone in a quiet place, Srinivas inquired from Narottam about the welfare of Kettari. Narottam humbly reported that he had gone there as ordered by Srinivas and had engaged himself in the worship of the deity, the service of the Vaishnavas, and the performance of Sankirtan. By his mercy, Srinivas's mercy, he had built a temple for the Lord, and he had hoped that on the full moon day of the month of Phalgun, so do you know what that day is? The full moon day in the month of Phalgun. Ah, we call it Gaura Purnima, but there was no such name at that time. It was known as Dol Yatra. So on the full moon day on the month of Phalgun, Srinivasacharya, Narottam was hoping, Srinivasacharya would come and install the deities in the temple. Can we put the music down just a tiny bit? A little bit, thank you. So Narottam was requesting Srinivas to please come and install the deities in the temple. Srinivasacharya's arrival in Teliyabuduri was much later than Narottam had expected him. And Narottam now feared that perhaps it was too late to arrange for this festival. Srinivas assured Narottam that the delay had been the will of the Lord. And he told him about his marriage, his visit to Vrindavan, and the other incidents. They passed a long time talking, and then they took rest. Now Srinivas was full of anxiety. He was so anxious about organizing this huge installation festival that night Srinivas could not sleep. He wondered whether the associates of Mahaprabhu would actually come to Kettari or whether the Lord would fulfill his desires. He cried in anxiety. Then, moved by affection for his devotee, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him in a dream. The Lord consoled Srinivas and told him not to be anxious. He advised him to send invitation cards everywhere. He said that the devotees who were suffering in separation from the Lord would surely come and participate in this festival. Mahaprabhu also assured Srinivas that his desire would be fulfilled and that the festival would be very successful. After speaking in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared from Srinivas's dream. And after the Lord's disappearance, Srinivas felt restless, but he controlled his emotions. The next morning, when the devotees assembled, Srinivas took pleasure in sending invitation cards everywhere. He wrote the cards as a poem, and he selected 15 people to carry these cards all over Navadvip and other places. He also sent an invitation to Shamananda Prabhu in Orissa. Soon, everybody knew that on Falgun Purnima there would be a grand festival at Kettering. Srimati Janava Devi. Now Janava Devi was one of two sisters. The other sister's name was Vasudha. And these two sisters were the daughters of Krishnadas Sarikav. And he lived in a place called Ambika Kalna. When Nityananda Prabhu was told by Lord Chaitanya that he should marry, somebody came from that place and said, I think these two sisters will be suitable wives for Nityananda Prabhu. And in a wonderful ceremony which is described, he took these two sisters as his wives. And of the two, Vasudha stayed at home and took care of their two children. And Janava Devi traveled sometimes from place to place. So after Lord Nityananda left, he became invisible to the eyes of the devotees. Janava Devi was known as Srimati Janava Ishwari because she became the most prominent Vaishnavi at that time amongst the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srimati Janava Devi, who lived in Kardaha, decided to attend the festival in Kettering. At that time she received a divine message from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who ordered her to go to Kettering as soon as possible, because Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das and the others were all waiting for her. The Lord also told her that because of the desire of Srinivas, remember he had a desire, he wanted a desire fulfilled, because of the desire of his devotees, he and his intimate associates would appear during the festival to sing and dance in Sankirtan. Srimati Janava Ishwari left at once for Kettering. When she reached Ambika Kalna, her home place, a huge crowd of people came out of their homes to meet her. Sri Chaitanya Das, the son of Vamsi Das, this is another Chaitanya Das, also joined the group along with Hriday Chaitanya Das. And then all this huge group of Vaishnavas now that were coming from two places, they all went to Navadvip. And every person in that traveling party hoped to visit that holy place, although the memory of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu deeply saddened them. As they entered that holy dham, some people cried loudly and others fainted. And many Navadvip devotees, such as Sripati and Sri Nidhi, were the two other brothers of Srivas and Sriram, who was his brother? Does anyone remember? Srivas, maybe it was Sriram, Sri Nidhi, and Sripati. But these two were still present. So they decided also to go to this festival, and they went to accompany Janava Mata to Kettering. In the morning, the traveling party started for Kantaka Nagara, and on their way, in each village they came to, the people became very satisfied to see these great devotees traveling for this wonderful festival. Because of the presence of such great Vaishnavas, every village that they went through became a holy place, and the people there became very fortunate. Now we'll have a little kirtan and then we'll hear some more. Now I want you to do a little exercise. Is the microphone up? I want you to do a little exercise. Close your eyes for a moment. And just imagine that Keshava Prabhu came running in here and told us that Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and so many of their disciples were coming up the road here and they were about to enter the temple room. How incredibly excited we would be. Such extraordinary personalities who we've never met. Perhaps we have never met. Definitely we have never met. And we've always wanted to see them. We've heard so much about them. And they're just now walking along and coming to the door. Now, keeping that quiet meditation as a frame of reference, please listen to something about this wonderful festival. Upon the arrival of all these exalted Vaishnavas, Kettering became like the hub of divine happiness. Srinivasacharya and Narottam Das led a party who went to receive all these honored guests. The people in the village then fell at the feet of these great devotees. Seeing this wonderful reception, one man commented how formerly the villagers had been mostly non-believers, but by the association of Narottam Das, they had all become godly persons. Some quiet music would be very nice, but not at the expense of the breaking the mood by making Krishna Balaram disappear. If there's some way to do that very quietly, it would be very nice. Srinivasa Narottam had accommodation ready for every one of these guests. Their Vaishnava visitors were astonished to see such nice residences. They had built a residence for every one of these exalted personalities. Of course, it was a little easier to build a residence there. You could build it out of thatch, whereas here it would be taking a little more effort and cost. But they had built something for each one, fresh, new, clean, that would only be there for them to stay. These Vaishnava visitors were astonished to see such nice residences, such vast stocks of food, and so many servants taking responsibility for this festival. Upon obtaining the association of these exalted devotees, the people of Kettering forgot all their personal miseries, and they eagerly looked forward to the beginning of this wonderful festival. They considered themselves so fortunate because their village was being blessed by the dust of the lotus feet of such respected devotees. All the Vaishnava guests were also impressed by the way the houses had been decorated and the magnificent altar that had been constructed for the deity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although the Lord had not yet been placed upon it. The next day was Falgun Purnima. Six deities of Krishna were to be installed and placed upon their altars. Thereafter, the great devotees would assemble, and even the demigods would come to observe this grand festival. Everyone was eagerly awaiting for the Sankirtan on the following day. Somebody spoke appreciatively of the fortunate king, Santosh Dutta, who had taken such great care to arrange everything for the festival, including the large ornate canopy and the beautifully decorated compound where the kirtan would be held. Another man said that never in his life had he seen so many people together busily making garlands and sandalwood paste. Another person noted that he had never seen so many types of musical instruments, and nor had he seen so many singers and dancers assembled in one place. And yet another man, he wished that this night would quickly pass, so that tomorrow he could witness the activities of these great exalted devotees and spend the entire day with them, feeling no necessity to return to his home. In fact, he said, if he would chastise himself for returning home simply to eat. Before the day broke, the enthusiasm for this coming festival was intensified by the sounds of musical instruments, indicating that the morning was not far away. As soon as the morning arrived, everyone went to see the beautiful deities. The visiting Vaishnavas assembled in the courtyard of Sri Gauranga's temple, wearing fresh new cloth and decorated with very dazzling tilak. They all took their respective seats, and Srimati Janava Devi accepted her seat in a separate place. Both Srinivas and Narottam were extremely pleased with the nicely decorated arena. And as soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates gave their permission, Srinivas began the ceremonial bathing of the deities. First, he offered his obeisances to each of those great devotees who were present. And then he began the rituals for installing all six deities on their respective altars. According to the will of the Lord, Srinivas announced the names of the deities. So the first deity was the deity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was very, very rare. Now we see Gauranitai deities all over the world. Perhaps there was one, maybe two, maybe three other deities of Lord Chaitanya at this time. So Narottam Das was installing a deity of Sri Gauranga. He was installing a deity of Sri Balavikanta, Sri Brajmohan, Sri Krishna, Sri Radha Kanta, and Sri Radha Raman. Then Srinivasacharya carefully dressed the deities in gorgeous new clothes, offered scented sandalwood paste and flower garlands, while the holy names of Sri Hari resounded amidst chanting of Vedic hymns and musical accompaniment. After performing all the required ceremonies, lamps were offered, and the devotees called out the holy names and prostrated themselves before these beautiful deities. Although that courtyard had insufficient space, just imagine if Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Parampara arrived here and walked inside. We would rush in here and cram in here, and we wouldn't care if we were packed against the walls. We would have to be where they were. We would be so excited, so moved, so deeply, deeply touched by the fact that we had this opportunity to see them. So although the courtyard had insufficient space, many hundreds and hundreds of people assembled there to watch the offering of lamps, after which Srinivasacharya offered the deities many palatable dishes. Then he offered water to wash their hands and their mouths, and betel leaves for chewing, as well as flower garlands and sandalwood paste. When Srinivasacharya opened the doors of the temple, and the sweet fragrance from the body of the Lord came from the temple, it filled the entire courtyard. Everyone became overwhelmed seeing the effulgence of the Lord's. While gazing at their beauty, even Srinivas lost control of his emotions and he fell to the ground to offer his obeisances. Then he bowed very humbly at the lotus feet of all those great associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and embraced them with tears of joy filling his eyes. He lay himself prostrate at the lotus feet of Sri Janava Devi, who affectionately ordered him to distribute the offered garlands and sandalwood paste to the assembled devotees. Srinivasacharya carried each garland, one garland to one Vaishnava to another one. He carried each garland on a separate plate and he offered them to each of the Vaishnavas. While Janava Devi ordered Nrisinga Chaitanya Das to give the garland to Srinivas. Also to give a garland to Narottam Das and to their followers. Then Janava Devi cast her glance upon Narottam with a fixed gaze. She infused him with spiritual prowess beyond the comprehension of common men. Then the son of Advaita Acharya, Sri Achyutananda, gave his blessings to Narottam Das and gave him permission to begin the Sankirtan. Narottam Das and his followers were all expert in singing and dancing and playing musical instruments. Devi Das was sitting on his left and he started a musical accompaniment and the other musical instruments all joined in. The instruments seemed to be speaking sweet words. Narottam Das led and Sri Balava and others repeated each line responsively. Gauranga Das and others played mridanga and sang. Sri Gokul sang and his voice, his sweet voice, impressed everyone. The audience became mesmerized by the dramatic performance of the musicians. So first a selected group of expert Vaishnavas sang. Surrounded by the musicians, Narottam Das Thakur looked like the moon surrounded by innumerable stars. During that kirtan, Narottam and the other singers absorbed themselves in thoughts of Sri Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda and Advaita Acharya, and they dedicated themselves to the mercy of these lords. By their artistic performance, the ragas and the raginis they played seemed to come alive. Their mood and feelings increased the tempo of the instrumentalists as the volume of the song increased, and so the pleasure of all the Vaishnavas present also increased. Then, after this first kirtan, Sri Raghunandan, Raghunandan was the grandson of Narahari Sakar, who was living in Shikanda and who had already left this world. And Raghunandan was the remaining you'd say, the remaining disciple of Narahari, and he was also an associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he was a small boy at the time of Mahaprabhu's appearance. So then in a wave of emotion, Sri Raghunandan stepped forward and offered sandalwood paste and flower garlands to the mridangas and the kartals, the personal instruments of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he embraced and garlanded Narottam Das and the other singers, who in turn all bowed down to him. Now, Narottam Das changed the style of kirtan, so everyone now would chant. He now sang, describing the mind and the heart of Lord Chaitanya when he was absorbed in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Hearing his songs, the singers became very emotional, and thus they heightened the ecstasy of the devotees who were present there. Sri Janava Devi cried when she listened to the song describing the devotional qualities of Sri Gaurachandra. Sri Achyutananda, Sri Pati, Sri Nidhi and others lost control of their emotions and they shivered in ecstasy. One devotee said that Narottam Das was attempting to duplicate the method of kirtan sung by Swarup Damodar Goswami for the pleasure of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the hope of attracting the Lord to participate in the kirtan. Another man agreed that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must be enjoying the kirtan along with his beloved companions. And another devotee expressed his inner desire to see the Lord and his associates manifest themselves within the Sankirtan. Now close your eyes again. We have Srila Prabhupada and these exalted transcendental personalities whom we know. We may also have our gurus will be here. And any transcendental person who would like to attend this festival is here. Just imagine if their kirtan was so profoundly intense that the deities came alive and stepped off the altar and started to dance with us. We would go crazy. We can't even imagine. We would go crazy. Crazy in blissful excitement. And the deities would be dancing. Please listen. Regardless of the various opinions, everyone appreciated the quality of the melodious chanting. During this Sankirtan, the demigods showered flowers on the singers. Narada Muni and other sages and ascetics came in disguise, and even the animals, the birds, the snakes and other creatures, they became mesmerized by the song. Then, as the ocean of Sankirtan, little by little, overflowed its banks, the people in the Kirtan pavilion forgot their individual existence, and they became bathed in their own tears. While listening to their chanting, Lord Gaur Sundar decided to reveal himself clearly in that place. Suddenly, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, and all the other associates of the Lord became manifest like lightning within a cloud, charming the universe by their appearance. They became the priceless jewels of that Sankirtan. The devotees became enchanted by the beautiful dress and the graceful gestures of those divine beings. And in the midst of the assembly, they gracefully danced in time with the increasing beat of the musical instruments. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's indescribable dance in that kirtan seemed to shower transcendental love throughout the whole world. Nityananda Prabhu's dancing caused the world to tremble, while Advaita Acharya danced like a mad lion and roared in ecstasy. Gadadhar Pandit joyfully danced with Srinivas Acharya. The ecstatic dancing of Srivas Pandit, Murari Gupta, Haridas Thakur, Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar, Vrakeshwar Pandit, and so many others of the intimate associates of the Lord, dancing lifted the people out of all their sorrows. As Narottam Thakur chanted, even the demigods and the Gandharvas came to dance in that great Sankirtan performance. Lord Gaurachandra loves his devotees, and thus he fulfilled the desires of Srinivas and Narottam. He embraced them both, and he softly spoke something very confidential that others could not hear. And then, thereafter, the Lord and all his associates suddenly disappeared, leaving the devotees in a state of utter despair. Their pitiful crying and lamentation broke the hearts of all who witnessed the scene. The sudden appearance and then disappearance of the Lord created a sense of despair. Upon the disappearance of the Lord, people became struck by the reality of their miserable lives, and in great disappointment they lamented piteously. One person cried out for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Another one ran looking everywhere trying to find Advaita Acharya. Someone was searching for Lord Nityananda. Another one was begging and begging to see Gadadhar Pandit again. Someone was crying out, "Where is Haridas? Where is Haridas?" And another person called for Srivas Pandit, and somebody else was looking for Murari Gupta. One devotee wanted to see Gauridas Pandit, and another one looked everywhere for Sri Swarup Damodar. At last, everyone abandoned all hope, and they rolled on the ground, crying loudly, because they would never again see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. Tears flowed so profusely that the ground became muddy, and even atheists who had come to watch this Sankirtan only to make jokes and have some fun, they also began to cry. They lifted their hands high in the air, and they prayed to the Lord to please, please, please protect them from sin and misery. When the devotees finally regained their external senses, they could not believe that they had actually enjoyed the association of the Lord. The people who were watching were amazed at the vision that they had seen. Srinivas and Narottam then explained to them all that they had been witness to another pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that the Lord's pastimes are always beyond the comprehension of ordinary materialistic men. Sri Janava Ishwari confirmed this by saying that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had fulfilled the desires of his beloved devotees, especially Narottam Das, by appearing during his performance of Sankirtan. She said that by this appearance, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had delivered many atheists from a life of sin and future damnation, and had lifted mankind for only a moment out of its ocean of sorrow. So this was the first Sankirtan festival held on Gaur Purnima. And now, so many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later, we are also attending that festival in places throughout the world. We may not be so fortunate to have this exalted consciousness of these associates of the Lord. We may not be so fortunate as to have the direct association of these exalted devotees. We may not even be so fortunate that Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur are about to walk in the door and join us. But still, we should feel very proud and very, very fortunate that we have come into the sway, under the sway of the waves of this ocean of Sankirtan, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our Guru Parampara. So now let us chant with our fullest possible sincerity. Who knows what might happen?